Welcome to the Irish NFL show to Brian O'Leary, Noel Dowling and myself, Conor Brophy, and we have some pretty decent news for the start of an April, just when we thought free agency was winding to a close and we'd seen all the big moves and all the dramatic trades. Along comes Stephon Diggs to the Houston Texans to catch us all by surprise. Brian, I might start with you on this one, because this signals intent really for both franchises, probably not the kind of intent you would have wanted to see from Buffalo. But let's start on the Houston Texans side, because the football gods bestowed upon them CJ Stroud last year. When something like that finds its way into your lap, when you have a quarterback of that kind of talent on a rookie deal, the script says you do everything you can to put every bit of talent you could possibly put around them, around them. They already have a pretty decent wide receiver room, to be fair. It's not necessarily the need that would have leapt out at you as something that they needed to address, but they've plugged Stephon Diggs in there. And, you know, my reckoning is good luck to them. It's the right move.
Absolutely. I think they're recognizing they're in a win now type of mode in terms of what we're going to see from going into next season, a division which is very much there for the taking again. It's strange in a way. The Texans have had very little talk over the last 24 hours since the move, I suppose, was announced. It's all very much around Buffalo and what they're going to do next. But you touched on there, they are stacked with wide receivers. Nico Collins, Tank Dell had a really fruitful season before the injury late in November. And I wouldn't say they're running it back, but they're obviously trying to put as many pieces around CJ Stroud. I suppose they probably didn't expect the enormity of such a great season, rookie of the year, clearly showing and proving even with the playoff victory that he really is the real deal. And I think they recognise this is a great opportunity for them to go further. And Stephon Diggs, you get a player which has been, over the course of the years between his time in Minnesota, and obviously probably didn't finish very well in Buffalo, but you're getting a really productive wide receiver. And I suppose they're probably weighing it up against, what do we do here? Do we take a chance on a wide receiver in the fourth or second round? Well, they actually don't even have a fourth round pick, obviously haven't done the deal which they've moved out in the fourth round and allowed the Vikings to move up. So you're looking at potentially taking a wide receiver in the second round, or do you go for a wide receiver which over the course of the last 10 years has been really productive and experience that comes with it? Do have my concerns around where his head's at times. We saw towards the back end of his Buffalo career, he could be a bit, you know, he gets antagonized very easily. There was times with the head coach, there was times with Josh Allen, so they'll have to manage that. But if it's the player in which we've seen when his head is switched on, I think they're going to get a really good player.
No, that it is. It's an interesting move, as we said, in both directions. But, you know, one of the elements here, I think, you know, JP Acosta was saying this, to give him his due, when he was on that with Bill Barnwell talking about this. He was saying, okay, there might be a suggestion that towards the back end of last season, Diggs was far from the player that we've seen him be in the past, and maybe he isn't that elite WR1 anymore. But he doesn't need to be at Houston, and that's probably a key to all of this. It's not a risk-free move from the Texans' point of view, because you don't want a disruptive presence in the locker room, but like, what wide receiver out there who's any good doesn't fancy himself? That goes with the territory.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I don't think this is a great deal for Houston there as well. The first thing I thought when actually it was Brian who told me about it was, well, CJ Stroud is going to love that one. Because look, you talk about, a lot of people have mentioned the second half of last season, which is fair enough, but you know, there are reasons for that outside of just Diggs. Obviously, there was changes made with the Bills, you know, offensive coordinator. There was a bit more of an emphasis put into the run game, which seemed to, you know, hamper Diggs there as well. But still, when you look at him, he had almost 1,200 yards last year with, I think, 8 touchdowns. So that shows you that he still has that kind of talent. Brian mentions, you know, where his head's at. And that's obviously a big thing. But I think the great thing for the Texans, this is a big, like, win now move, along with, say, Danell Hunter on the defensive side. It's like they're really going for it now. And I think even if you get an issue with Diggs down the road, I don't think it'll be in year one. And I think this move is really predicated on year one and the Texans really making a push this season to do something. So I think from that standpoint, it really could work out to be a really, really good move for them. And then after this year, I don't think he's got any guaranteed money anyway. So look, if after this year he kicks off a bit or something kind of goes funny, well, okay, fair enough. Talk to you later. You know, our rookie quarterback is it. Well, he's not a rookie now, but he's another year on and maybe he's that little bit better and, you know, maybe they have someone else come in. But I think for now, for this season, it shows a massive intent by the Texans. And I think it's a good move that I don't think they can really lose on this one, to be honest.
I think it also goes to show as well, you know, building on what Noel is saying there, Brian, like the arms race in the AFC is a severe level here. You know, you look at where the Ravens and the Bills, and we'll get to the Bills, of course, finished up last season, you know, with all the talent they had in their rosters, with the quarterback in place, been so close over the last couple of years, you still got to get by the Chiefs. And, you know, you had the Bengals out of the picture last year as well because of the injury to Joe Burrow. Like, he's probably back and fully fit. You know, other teams are moving and adding players. You don't know what's going to happen in terms of the quarterbacks that are drafted, and supposed to be a very good QB class. Obviously, the proof will be in the pudding on that one, as it always is. But the Texans are not taking anything for granted. And this is one of the things I love. You know, even a year ago, we were talking about this roster saying, oof, it's talent poor. Don't fancy that for CJ Stroud. People love D'Amico Ryans and always thought he'd be a good head coaching candidate. But you're saying, God, they've got a lot of work to do. They're way ahead of expectations. They're probably where they would have expected to be in year three, realistically. But there's no point resting on your laurels, because if you stay still, you move backwards in the NFL.
Yeah, I think what they did do very well last offseason, we discussed, was they brought in players with experience, your likes of Dalton Schultz and various other players that recognise what it's about playing the league. And look, did we all see it kind of working in unison and gelling very quickly? No, we didn't. But same time, you touched on there, they've recognised, okay, things have moved out quite quickly for this team. Sometimes that's a dangerous piece, because we've seen other teams. I throw in the Giants last year, GM, head coach comes in, that means your success. They're kind of getting ahead of the curve in terms of where they expect to be over the course of the years. And then the second season, the transpires, they move back very quickly. I don't see that with this Texas team, and that's predominantly because of the fact they've got a real young up-and-coming head coach. They've got a young up-and-coming quarterback. And they've recognised this is an opportunity. And it's not just about making the playoffs in the AFC, unfortunately, where you might find the road to the Super Bowl through the NFC. Because arguably there's only two or three teams that can really make that push. In the AFC, ultimately, it's all about seedings. And it's very early. We're talking about April when we're talking about seedings for next year. But ultimately, when it comes to the playoffs, you need to find yourself at the top end of the seedings. Get as many home games as possibly can. Put yourselves in a position to be in the AFC Championship game. We saw the Texans last year win a division, get a playoff game at home, be very comfortable winners in the end against the Browns. Like, there's nothing here, Noah's touchdown, there's nothing here that doesn't make sense for the Texans. It's very much go for this, see if it works out. If it doesn't transpire, it's a year on, no guaranteed money. We can reevaluate where we're at. But if Diggs is the guy, which we saw in Minnesota and early on in Buffalo, he brings experience for a young wide receiver. And once we're talking about the mid stacked, it is a young team by and large. And they do need experienced players that are pulling in the right direction. Ultimately, that is the case for Texans and for Texans fans in particular. And I think we've lost Connor. We will await him.
He's down there, yeah.
Yeah. Ah, he's back.
There we go. Sorry, I'm back in the room. Sorry to keep you in suspense. No, I was going to say from the Bills side of the ticket here, I'm genuinely unsure as to where they go next. And I don't want to be overly down on the Bills, because they've been more than competitive over the last couple of years, winning 12, 13 games every season year, put themselves in position to have a chance. And, you know, we just touched on it very briefly there. Still got to get past Mahomes and the Chiefs, and better teams have struggled with that particular task. You know, I still come back to the fact that there's only two quarterbacks in the league who've managed to beat Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs. One is Tom Brady, who's obviously retired, and the other is Joe Burrow. Like, it's not an easy task. The Bills have come as close to anyone to scale in that peak and to get into where they want to be. But where they go from here is tricky, because they don't have huge amount of draft capital. They're not picking early. They needed to do this arguably from a salary cap perspective, but there's no obvious way to get back to the same sort of level of talent that they had going into the last couple of seasons from here, unless they hit on a couple of later round draft picks, which is always an endeavor that's fraught with risk. I mean, I just keep going back to here. I hope Josh Allen had the Superman cape laundered, because he's going to need to play hero ball again next year.
No, absolutely. This is the Bills may be the most interesting team now at the moment in the NFL for me. You look at the players they've lost, Stephon Diggs there, Gabe Davis, Leonard Floyd, Jordan Poyer, Tre'Davious White. I mean, their names gone out the door this year, and there's not many coming. I know we have Curtis Samuel and Matt Collins coming in, but neither of them are Stephon Diggs. Like, this is, you know, you kind of look at this team and you wonder, is it a mini rebuild? We know every single team has a window. And when you have that quarterback like Josh Allen, you know, at some point, as they have had to do, they've had to pay him a lot of money and things around then, you know, you kind of have to work around that quarterback. They don't have a lot of money, I don't think now. Even this move of Stephon Diggs, he would have counted $28 million against the cap, but they've taken a $31 million dead cap hit to move him on. So that shows you they, and even the compensation they gave to draft picks. So I look at this move and I wonder, like, is this something that was in the offing anyway, or is it just that Stephon Diggs was kind of so disgruntled there that they kind of felt backed into a corner that they needed to actually move him on? But where they go from here now is a massive question. As you say, they're picking rather late in the first round. So look, this is supposed to be a strong wide receiver class. So maybe they still will hit someone
and
later
on. They can't realistically trade up either now because they don't have the capital to do that.
The Falcons being touted as a trade possibility. I mean, that's going from 28 to 8. That's not happening. Like, there's no way that kind of moves. So maybe they can go up slightly if they see somebody that they're interested in, maybe fall a bit lower than they expected. Maybe they can move up a few kind of picks from there. But I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of work here to do now for this team. But look, when you have a Josh Allen, you know, in that division, there's so many question marks on other teams. Like, who are the Titans? New head coach, a lot of turnover. I think the Patriots are in terrible trouble at the moment. You know, again, a new head coach. How is he going to be able to handle that? And the Dolphins can look good, but, you know, who knows on any given day if Tua really hits. So I still think there's a good chance for them to win that division with a player like Josh Allen at quarterback. It's just, I don't know what's happening here at the moment. Is it a full-on rebuild? Is it a retooling, as they say, or what is actually happening here? And that's going to be fascinating to kind of keep an eye on to see where they go.
I'm thinking, as Noel is talking there, Brian, there's two things that the Bills need to weigh very carefully next year. First is keeping Josh Allen happy. The second one is hoping that Aaron Rodgers doesn't come back looking anything like pre-injury Aaron Rodgers.
I'd imagine Jets fans are delirious with excitement right now. I think they would certainly see themselves as the favourites for the AFC East with a scenario where Aaron Rodgers is going to come back next season. I mean, the Bills, no twist on it there. They've been in a bit of a, I wouldn't say free fall, but they've had to let go of a lot of players. There's a lot of cap issues there. So Jets fans would have been quietly confident with the expectation that Aaron Rodgers comes back and plays a full season. And this will probably only solidify the odds on the division that the Jets are likely to be favourites, and that Jets fans will see this as a big opportunity. No touch on the Dolphins. The Dolphins have some serious cap issues. They've had to make some radical changes as well. The Patriots, we really don't know where they're at. And where is Josh Allen's heads at? Like, this, for me, this, I know we spoke about it briefly within the WhatsApp group, but is this, you don't know where they're at. Is this like a complete rebuild? Is this the right time for a team to potentially put an offer on the table where they reevaluate? We're talking about wide receivers as potentially the first round pick. I saw this morning, their odds on now to pick a wide receiver in the first round. Who do they get at 28? Brandon Bean has never selected a wide receiver in the fourth, second, or third round. I think he will after this year. But this could be the right time for someone to go in and make a ludicrous offer to the Bills and reevaluate.
Well, I agree with that. You know, at first instance, I thought, no, that's never going to happen in a million years. And I don't see him moving in a million years. But I don't think it's a crazy thing to make a crazy offer, if that doesn't sound stupid, because I think you can plant the seed. I think you're looking at Josh Allen now, and some team out there, some GM out there is thinking, this is the next Matthew Stafford. He eventually gets disgruntled enough if they don't win, and they're not looking likely to win right now, that the time will come when he's ready to be dropped into a contender team. You know, there's a Buccaneers or a Rams out there waiting sometime in the future, with the clock ticking now on Josh Allen. If he gets pissed off enough, if things go sideways this season, we'll see what they do in the draft. But it's going to be quite a job to keep him happy through the next couple of years.
I'll put a scenario out there, and I genuinely am taking my unbiased hat off here. The Giants make a lot of sense. Josh Allen is in Buffalo. It's in the New York State. It's not a fair move. He's worked with Brian Daboll. He's had his most success in his career.
Josh Allen is in New York State, unlike the Giants.
Well, that's a different podcast for a different day. He has a related. Yo Shane came from Buffalo. He was assistant GM to Brandon Bean. Brian Daboll is the head coach who got the best out of him in his time in Buffalo. The Giants are selecting at number 6 in the draft. There is an opportunity for them if they were to do a trade. And on top of numerous first-round picks, I'm not just talking about this year, but they immediately jump up to 6 and they could potentially get a quarterback that could step in immediately. That, for me, is the one that makes the most sense. And
the worst trade since Jack and the Beanstalk. You got a handful of magic beans.
And you touch on, and this is a broader conversation. People say, would a team, any GM, be comfortable giving away 3 or 4 first-round picks over the course of the next 4 years? If it resolves your quarterback situation for 10 years, and inarguably it would with Josh Allen coming in, is that not worth it? Since you know that you'll never have to draft a quarterback in the first round because you're getting the caliber of Josh Allen. Other teams, I imagine.
Realistically, though, could they actually trade away Josh Allen? How would that go down in Buffalo? That would be an interesting kind of situation. And sorry, can I just say one thing? Just for the people who are listening who are wondering why I was putting the Titans into the East when I was talking about it there instead of the South, apologies, I was getting all confused there. I missed the Jets and got the wrong team. And it's just after I said it, and I was like, oh, no, that's not right. But anyway.
But look, yeah,
they're not swapping.
Connor, you're right. Like, this is the moment, if ever something's going to happen. And I know we're probably speculating here, and people are listening to this and say, these guys are going off on a different tangent there. But like, you look at it over the course of the NFL over 7 or 8 years, and then probably it's unfair to use a Russell Wilson trade, but there's always a scenario where a team catches a GM at the appropriate time. He's done this deal. He recognizes maybe this is the right time to refresh. Like, Sean McDermott's clearly under pressure, having not made the playoffs. We haven't even gone into the digs, the trade itself, in terms of why we believe this came to fruition, because his numbers were very poor in the sense of Joe Brady took on the offensive coordinator role, and they now touched on it there. They moved to a more run heavy offense, which probably means he's not really going to be a part of the plan in the long term.
But they've gone from having a legitimate shot at taking down the Chiefs, and who knows where their playoff run would have taken them last season, to massive question marks. Like, Noel, if they do miss the playoffs this year, and you're heading into it, we're obviously speculating wildly now. You don't know how the next season is going to go, but there's nothing less than making the playoffs in a deep playoff run is remotely acceptable for the Bills with Josh Allen there. You could be looking at then coaching moves and all sorts of the rest of it, and further turmoil if it doesn't happen next season. So it's not implausible that Allen is looking at his lot and going, really, is this what I want for the rest of my career? You know, when I came that close, 13 seconds away from playing in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, no, I think quarterbacks of his ilk, you know, when decisions like this are being made at teams and big moves like this are being made, that's when they start kind of questioning, as you say, well, what is happening here? What kind of window am I looking at now for me to continue to be successful? And this builds
and to Brian's point, to be fair, why wouldn't I want to be out of the AFC? Who the hell wants to have to come through that every year when I go to the NFC and have a clear run at?
No, absolutely. And these are things that, and I mean, players have that little bit more power now. They have a word with the agents and things kind of get moving behind the scenes. And that's it. You look at it now, but obviously a player like him, he wants his team to show the same kind of, you know, drive that he wants, or commitment to kind of trying to win as he does. And I talked earlier about the amount of players that have left this team. And while I do still think with him, they could be strong enough to take that division with question marks on other teams, still, you know, they might just be good enough to win the division. But, you know, you look at this team going into a playoff run, and we talked about Mahomes, but now you have to look at the Texans, who potentially, if CJ Stroud continues to make strides, will be a really good team. And then you have the Ravens, who will be there. We'll see how they are. So for a player like Allen, like, I think, you know, he would hope that people are keeping in touch with him and letting him know what they're doing, because quarterbacks, especially like him, are what this game is built around now. And if they were to trade someone like him, well, look, I wouldn't want to be in that building and the fans find that out, because that would be an unbelievable trade if that was to actually happen to anywhere.
Well, no, I'm prepared to offer Tommy DeVito 2 first-round picks. And a pair of tickets to a West to a musical of your choice.
I'll even go to the musical with them. I just wanted to make a point for Bills fans. If they had a trade in with Gabe Davis in situ, I think Bills fans would have said, you know, it makes sense. Gabe Davis has been a really productive wide receiver. He looks like he's the guy that can step up, be a one receiver. Obviously, he's moved on to Jacksonville as part of the free agency period. And now, earlier on, obviously, they brought in Curtis Samuel. Like, you look at it, and it is very bare. Like, in terms of what they have there in front of them. Can they even resolve all that by going with a wide receiver in the first round, even the second round? It doesn't strike me, because you're reliant on guys coming in having an immediate impact, and that can happen. But 9 times out of 10, these guys take time to gel and kind of transition into the league. It really feels like this is a big opportunity for our teams within the division.
Well, firstly, it's a big I tell you, fantasy general managers will be knifing each other to get either James Cook or Dalton Kincaid in the fantasy draft next year. Like, there's going to be no end of tight end production there, and James Cook out of the backfield is going to find himself a very busy man in Buffalo. Whatever happens, we'll see what kind of moves the Bills make ahead. Draft upcoming, obviously, we're only a couple of weeks away now. Stay tuned to us here on the Irish NFL Show. In the meantime, we'll be previewing the draft, and we'll have live coverage on draft night, of course, on April 25th.